Hello and welcome to Charles in Charge, all the way from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. I'm Nicola Charles. It is Saturday, December the 4th. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. Are you excited? Are we going to be allowed to have Christmas? Do you think Dictator Dan will allow Melburnians to have Christmas? Well, as an unvaccinated Melburnian full of natural antibodies to COVID-19 after suffering through the L strain, the long strain from March to April 2020, I think I deserve a bit of a medal for that because, you know, I didn't make the bioweapon. I didn't release the bioweapon. I suffered through the bioweapon. Surely I should have some kind of compo for that, some compensation. Wouldn't that be fair? We're so sorry that your radio job and career ended because everyone got sick and the studio shut down and you couldn't work. I couldn't work. I think it was the last week or two that the show was allowed to record in the studios. But no, instead of being told we're so sorry and here's, you know, some money from the government for your demolished life, I'm being told you filthy, disgusting, germ-spreading cowbag. But that's not true. Do you want to know what is true? What is true is that if, let's say, they took plasma from my blood and in April, May, June, July 2020, I rang as many people as I could, my local MP, the police station, my local hospital, an immunologist that I knew, everybody offering my plasma because I believed they wanted to help us and save people. And I offered my plasma as a recovered COVID patient of the long strain. Now, they did tell me on the COVID hotline to hang up, dial 000 and say a meaningful goodbye to my children before getting in the ambulance. And I can tell you now, I'm sitting here on this Charles in Charge podcast talking to you because I didn't do that. Because I made a fundamental decision about my body and my health, having not left the house while I was sick for 2 months, because I was so socially responsible, I didn't want to risk infecting anyone else, even in the small village I was living in at the time. And I was the kind of citizen that you want on your team. I did nothing. I went insane. And I lived down a dirt track, nowhere near everyone. So I was not a problem. But instead, I'm being made to feel like a disaster, like a shitbag for making my own decisions. And aside from that, what about religious freedom? My beliefs are that I don't want aborted fetal tissue, aborted animal tissue. I don't want my DNA changed. I am a creature of God, of the universe, and I don't wish to be a scientific experiment. Getting to the scientific experiment, it's not going awfully well. And what that's doing for those of us who either suffered through COVID-19 and have antibodies, those of us who just say no, as is their absolute right, don't want it, those who have religious exemptions and objections, we are now being left in chronic pain, distress, and worry about the people we know and love who have had it. I've got a number of friends who are married and their partners had it and they didn't. Scary scenario. We're not quite sure how that works. There really is a creepy thing going on in Victoria at the moment with politics. I mean, they really are the virus, politicians at the moment. They all need clearing out because there's no vaccine, is there, for the virus of politicians. We really need a clean sweep. We need all of these parliaments cleaned out of everyone except the people who are speaking sense. And starting again, quite frankly, like starting again with real people. I think it's dangerous. I think this Adam Samurek said yesterday on a Melbourne radio station I no longer trust or believe in. But he did say that Dan Andrews had been brought up through politics with a mindset that as long as he could roll that one person to get the majority of numbers that he needed, he didn't want a general consensus on any issue. So it's just about point scoring, winning, having the power and all that stuff. And that proves that Dan Andrews is not a man of the people. He's not about the people, for the people, by the people. He's just about winning, because winning gives him power, and then he's connected with all the right people. It's really sad that the politicians, the chief health officers, who quite often have had nothing to do with health and have been moved over from transport and other areas, they're just mouthpieces, and they're just running from these models from universities. It's really sad that they're not looking at anecdotal evidence. They're not looking at actual real research and ignoring the models, because the models were fine when I was sick in March, April 2020. They're not fine in December 2021. And these politicians, Fiona Patten, who used to be of the Sex Party, but I believe they changed their name, she's pushing a bill through now that would allow sex workers to A, work on the streets in Melbourne, which isn't the case currently. So you'll see hookers walking up and down. Morally, I don't have an objection to that. There's usually specific areas that they can run brothels out of their homes. That's a bit of a tricky one, because that means you could spend an awful lot of money on a house and then someone just decides to make the house next door a brothel and you've got extremely undesirables coming in and out. And she also wants to pass it through that sex workers who have STDs, including HIV, can continue to work in the sex industry and have unprotected sex with their customers. Because to not allow them to do that would be discriminatory. So hang on, it's okay for sex workers to spread disease to continue working, because if they're not allowed to, that's discriminatory. But it's not okay for healthy people or people like me with antibodies who aren't vaccinated against a flu with a 99.97 survival rate to go to work or earn a living if I'm not part of a medical experiment. That apparently is not discriminatory. These people are insane. They don't know what they're talking about. Here are some actual facts from an actual medical professional who has looked at the data that is coming in globally from actual COVID patients. And here's what the Globe is telling us right now. Oh, my computer does love to do this to me while I'm speaking live on air. Here we go.
And 2,500 US counties just published in the European Journal of Epidemiology has just proved that vaccination rates are unrelated to COVID case numbers. Remembering that there is much to be desired about the accuracy of the PCR test used to justify the lockups and the muzzling. Heavily vaccinated countries are having overwhelming surges in case numbers. Israel, which is exclusively Pfizer, by the way, and well into its booster program, Iceland, Ireland, the Seychelles, Gibraltar, the UK, and many parts of the States have high numbers. In fact, Waterford in Ireland has just announced the highest case numbers in the country in the face of a staggering 99.7% vaccination rate. No doubt the other 0.3% will be to blame. What are people saying? That my vaccine won't work until you have yours? Really? In a recent hospital outbreak in Israel, 95% of the cases were fully vaccinated. The double vaccinated in Scotland now comprise 89% of the deaths from COVID-19, in a trend that has been increasing for months, according to the latest technical report from Public Health Scotland. A month ago, the figure for England was 86%. As of yesterday in New Zealand, only 17% of new COVID-19 admissions to hospital were in unvaccinated people. So the next time a social media influencer looks you in the eye and tells you that if you get the vaccine, you cannot die, please recognise disinformation.
But what they tell us, isn't it? What they tell us is that the disinformation is when you listen to stuff like this. That's what they say to us. Are you hearing the numbers? Are you hearing the numbers? You know, it used to seem to me that it was a bit crazy the way people would mask up and run in fear of COVID. And the reason I had that opinion was because I slept in the same bed as my partner, was intimate with my partner while I was sick. He didn't get sick and my children didn't get sick. So I've always had the feeling that COVID wasn't quite as transmittable as they would like us to believe that it was. And that's quite concerning, isn't it? Because it was made out to be the big bad boogeyman and we were all running scared, myself included. And now it seems that vaccinated people actually really do need to run scared from this virus. Now the masking and all that stuff is actually making sense to me, because the vaccinated are getting so very sick. So what are we to think about that? Who are we to trust? And so these mandates that stop us working, these mandates that stop us, the unvaccinated who are, you know, 17% of hospitalizations. You've got all of these deaths and cases now in 80%, 90% plus vaccinated people. They're not shut out of society. They're allowed to work. And so what some businesses are doing, the businesses that think and look at the real science and the real data, not models from universities that Dan Andrews and the like seem to rely on, is they are actually letting patrons in from everywhere. They're not discriminating. And as Fiona Patton said from the sex party, or what used to be, you can't stop an HIV positive prostitute having sex, even if she doesn't tell the person, the customer, because that would be discriminatory. So how come you can stop an unvaccinated person against the flu from going to a restaurant or going Christmas shopping? You absolute bunch of corrupt liars. Now, here's just a little word here from a gentleman who's been following a case with the Caledonian Hotel, which is like a pub bar restaurant in Singleton. And this just happened in court when they got a fine for letting unvaccinated people in.
Hi, well, I've got a bit better reception. I know that dropped out a bit, but the Caledonian Hotel at Singleton just got off, found have no case to answer for not enforcing QR codes, fax records, and serving anyone and everyone. They were fined $15,000 by the police, and today in court they got off, case thrown out, and that sets a precedent now. No pub should be able to be found guilty or have a case to answer if they do the same. So it probably won't be in the news, but there's a win for the good people. And thanks to the Caledonian Hotel for standing up for our rights. And again, fine $15,000 for ignoring the health orders, for serving anyone and everyone, unvaxxed, vaxxed, didn't check or enforce the QR codes or vax records, and today found to have no case to answer.
So that's good, isn't it? That's a positive move, because what we found here is that ordinary people seem to be making better decisions with regard to health than the chief health officers are. And yesterday, I'm sure you saw it. Well, I hope you saw it because I shared it on my social media. We saw a video. I think it's on a video podcasting site on social media called Unheard, which was really good. He's a British guy, I think. And he interviewed an Australian girl who had been a close contact of someone who tested positive for COVID. He was a friend of hers. And she'd been thrown into a quarantine facility in Darwin for 14 days, despite testing negative. And she tested negative three times while she was in there. And they forced her to stay the entire time. It's really extraordinary. And I can only hope that all of this is falling down, because it seems extremely, extremely unfair. that people's lives are being demolished in this way. And it's really heartening to see that a lot of the medical profession are starting to speak out. And here is a nurse. I'm just going to get the sound right before I play this for you. Here is a nurse on her experiences of what's happened lately.
You ask me that question, I can actually feel my heart racing because I'm speaking out right now the stuff that you guys don't know about. Reactions are catastrophic. There are thousands of them. So, we have a representative of our nurses and our doctors right now.
Okay, she's getting a standing ovation before she speaks. She's at the Reach Out Church. I guess everyone is just so relieved that they're speaking out.
Our nurses and doctors who are standing up are risking. I don't think you understand. These people are willing to throw away their careers for your safety and freedom. You need to understand the way of that. Years of training, dedication, sweat, tears. I'm so thankful to both of you for coming here tonight and for sharing the truth that we all need to hear, that so few people have the bravery to do. So let's get into it.
Discrimination. Wow. And I'm a nurse, it patient advocate. I'm the person that the patient trusts to tell them the truth, to explain things away when the doctor's telling them something they don't understand. And patients have had so many questions, and I can't lie to people. I just can't. And actually, just going back to when we were talking about the COVID patients, in total in the ICU, at last count, we've had 6 patients COVID positive in ICU in 20 months. And all of them survived and were discharged. And some of them were double vaccinated.
Democracy, Yaman, hey! So you left because of division, discrimination. Did it also have to do with an unwillingness to be vaccinated?
Yes, it did. I made a choice for myself based on the fact that I couldn't get informed consent. There's not enough data. There's no data. And I'm a mum and I have 2 beautiful young men, boys, they're 19 and 24. If something happens to me, what happens to them? So as a mum, first and foremost, I can't do it. I just feel an intuitive knowing that it's not for me.
About the nurses and doctors that are leaving is that they are perhaps the most genuine, the most caring, the most ethical, the people who believe in the actual science and who have taken their Hippocratic oath to do no harm seriously. So thank you for risking everything to come and tell us the truth here today. I so appreciate it. Both of you, I'd like to hear you both answer. So, I know that many of us may have heard about the APRA GAG. So, APRA stands for. Do you guys know what APRA stands for?
The Australian Health Practitioners Regulatory Agency.
So, basically, it's the regulatory agency which makes sure that all the healthcare professionals are toeing the line. Is that right? So, my understanding is that APRA has gagged healthcare professionals from speaking out about what's going on with COVID in our hospitals. Is that true? Can you explain a little bit about how they've done that and what that looks like? I don't want to be...
APRA has, I suppose, ordered the doctors not to disseminate any information that would be adverse to the rollout of the vaccine. And they have we see the government ads, go and ask the GP. Go and ask the GP, discuss the vaccine with him. But what's he going to say? He's been told to toe the government line and tell you that, yeah, the vaccine's good, the vaccine's safe. If he says anything, he'll be for the APRA people, and he'll be charged with professional misconduct, the end result probably losing his registration. So, as you can see, most doctors aren't prepared to speak out against APRA.
Yes, we've got the same directive, and we were told also that our social media would be monitored, and that we had to dob in our colleagues if they were sent to be speaking out negatively about the vaccine rollout. Was the big one.
So I've actually got the APRA statement here. It says, any promotion of anti-vaccination statements or health advice which contradicts the best available scientific evidence or actively seeks to undermine the immunisation campaign, including via social media, is not supported by the National Board and may be in breach of codes of conduct and subject to investigation and possible regulatory action. So you're saying that means people could lose their medical licence entirely by expressing concerns about this vaccine. Okay, well, again, thank you for risking that to come out and tell the truth. So, Debbie, since you've worked through the pandemic, we hear about these vaccine reactions. Now, a lot of us are wondering, are they rare?
Are they common? Which is it? Because we're hearing one thing from the government and another thing entirely from the TGA's records, though, as Senator Malcolm mentioned, they're refusing to acknowledge the legitimacy of. So could you, as an ICU and ED nurse who's likely seen a lot of stuff, could you comment on that for us?
This is really interesting because right now as you ask me that question, I can actually feel my heart racing because I'm speaking out right now the stuff that you guys don't know about. Reactions are catastrophic. There are thousands of them. There are heart attacks. There are blood clots. People are having to have limbs removed as a result of the blood clots. There is an increased number of stillborn babies, of babies with all kinds of horrendous...
Thank you.
Cancer is on the rise. People who have been in remission from cancer and now it's coming back with a vengeance.
It is not a vaccine.
It is not a vaccine.
Well, as you heard there, there is a doctor and a nurse on the stage there at the Reach Out Church in Australia, and I apologize for how long that clip was, but she was sort of working up to speaking because you could see that she was very, very distraught. Look, the truth is coming out generally because you can't argue with the fact that when large territories like Waterford in Ireland are 99.7% vaccinated and they're the ones having the highest numbers of COVID, that the vaccine does indeed seem to be an accelerant. Now, I know that's a really harsh thing to say and claim, and I know that you all think, oh, you know, the conspiracy theorists think it's a depopulation agenda. I am willing to consider that governments are potentially not aware of that little side project by Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab. I doubt it. I pretty much think they are on board with this, but obviously it's not something we can prove, which is why I said earlier we need to clear out these politicians. We need to clear out Parliament. We need to get rid of them because this current batch, they've actually come up through a very clever and malevolent system. Some of them, like Boris Johnson in the UK, they actually went to this European school that was run by Klaus Schwab. He was getting them ready for this. He was getting them ready for this huge, huge change. Now, I think they're going to face real problems with this in America because Americans are A, armed, and B, they have a constitution. So they're doubly armed because the constitution is protecting them and these mandates are falling apart everywhere. And as I used to say on my radio show, and I still believe this to be true, perhaps because Australia is owned by America, but more because we're part of the Five Eyes, Canada, America, UK, New Zealand and Australia, we do walk in lockstep. Now, Jacinta Ardern, who is one of the worst offenders with regard to mandates and these dictatorial totalitarian measures against innocent people who've committed no crime, she also attended that European school. And we've got to be very, very careful of these people because these are measures that cannot be undone. And we need to try and keep people safe. And what people do, you know, they're a bit like those people who go onto social media and they drop these bombs. They say something awful on social media and then they disappear. And you can't, there's no recourse. You know, you can't discuss what they've said with them. They just drop it and disappear. And these politicians will do the same because I'm assuming the countries, the territories, everything will remain, whether the financial systems change or not. Land masses, the geography of the planet will change. I'm reasonably sure they can't affect that. And these politicians will come and go if for no other reason than they will come and go. They will die like everyone else because science clearly hasn't moved forward as far as they would like us to believe it has. Because otherwise, Hillary Clinton and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and Joe Biden wouldn't be as old as they are. You know, they wouldn't be as old as they are. They would have found a remedy for that. Although it is interesting that these very wealthy elites never seem to get cancer and get sick and die like everyone else. They seem to get another 20, 30, 40 years on top. So I noticed lately there's been these sort of controlled release of all these videos of this AI, these robots. I've shared them myself that look human and they're moving around and they've got arms and they seem self-aware because they're looking at their hands going, wow, look at me, look at me. What you may notice is that there is a man, there is a human on a laptop next to those robots, making them do this, making them copy stuff. And I don't think we're at the stage yet where these robots, in essence, become self-aware. The problem is the evil people controlling them. So now I believe we have to have, and we are allowed to have as citizens, an inquiry, a national federal inquiry into these vaccine rollouts, the vaccine mandates, the discrimination that has followed, and governmental corruption. Scott Morrison in Australia has already made sure that class action lawsuits can't go ahead. That shows that he is an enemy of the people, not of the people, which is actually his job requirement. So his salary should be halted immediately. And I'm sure he won't notice. I'm sure he's very wealthy after all this. And we need to be able to have these inquiries. These corruption inquiries seem to go on state by state. We need one on a federal level. We need one on the Commonwealth level. And people need to use the one strength that they have now. We have one weapon left in all this, whether it's the vaccine passports, the mandates, QR coding, the Invasion of Privacy Act of 1988. If this stuff that's been put inside the vaccinated is really to track, trace, monitor, decide who gets vaccinated, who doesn't get vaccinated, depending on your social score. My God, this is so dystopian. Nazism, nightmarish. This has to fall down. These people thought they were vaccinating against the flu. So if you've gone in and invaded their personal privacy and autonomy, that is surely a crime against humanity. And we need an inquiry. This has been Charles in Charge. It's Saturday, the 4th of December. I will see you next time.